shall we? Praise shall we? We're glad to be in here tonight with you to join you live right here around the world, WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, the transmitting Jewel of the South. We're glad to have you up here, and we are in the book of Isaiah in chapter 65 for our text tonight as we continue part two of growing in grace and knowledge. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there's an interesting scripture in Isaiah 65. I suggest that everyone that really loves the King ought to read it, for it's very potent to what happens to those that will not serve Him, that will not seek Him while He can be found. And so the Bible is very clear and distinct. Verse 1, I am, causes the verb to be Haya Eliasher Haya. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me. Behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good, and after their own thoughts, a people that provoke me to anger continuously. Oh my. Oh my. Continuously. Provoke me to my face. They sacrificed in the gardens, and they burned incense upon the altars of brick. They walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, which remain among the graves, and they lodge in the monuments. They eat swine's flesh and broth of the abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, I don't need you, for I'm holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense, into their bosoms. Your iniquities and your iniquities of your fathers, together saith Yahweh, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure the former work unto their bosom. Thus saith Yahweh, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroyeth it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all, a remnant. Hallelujah. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place of the herds to lie down in for my people that have sought me. But you are they that forsake Yahweh, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for the troop, and that furnishes the drink offering unto the numbers of the vain. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear. But you did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the epitome of those that fail to grow in grace and knowledge. A people that provokes me to anger continuously before my face. The Bible says, seek Yahweh, and the day that you seek Him with all your heart, you shall find Him. Straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and only a few that be that find Yahweh. How hungry are you tonight? Are you thirsting for the living water? He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, will out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And you know very well, ladies and gentlemen, that water of life is in the Creator, and that you must seek the Creator to find the living water, as the Scriptures have said. Behold, therefore saith Yahweh, my servant shall eat, but you who have not sought me shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed and mourn. Behold, my servants shall sing for the joy of the heart, but you shall cry for sorrow, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For Yahweh shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. Behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come to mind. For be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, and neither shall the voice of crying. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we know that he abandoned old Jerusalem and sought out a people that would fill their heart with knowledge and faith. Faith without works is dead, and without faith we cannot please him. So therefore, the new Jerusalem that reigns in the heart of the thirsty and the hungry, and those that seek him shall find him. And the day that Yahweh came upon the earth, and the first message that he ever preached was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Now, that they should repent and turn to Yahweh and perform deeds worthy of their repentance. Acts 26:20. And as I rejoice, not because you agree, but because you are grieving unto repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret. But worldly grief produces death. For see that earnestness is godly grief that has been produced in you, and what eagerness to clear yourselves with indignation, and what alarm, and what longing, what zeal, what punishment at every point did you have proved yourself guiltless in this matter. That is a hungry flock of sheep. My sheep will hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Ladies and gentlemen, it is clear tonight that a hunger and a thirst has developed in your heart to reach out into the spiritual kingdom. And the Bible says that God, Yahweh, in a flesh body, John 4:24, that he's a spirit. And we talked about baptism here last night. We're going to continue the thought and the theme of entering the kingdom. Now, in St. John chapter 3, verse 5, Nicodemus wanted to know how to be born again. Can I enter again the second time in my mother's womb? And he said, are you a ruler of Israel and know not these things? See, he came to him by night. And ladies and gentlemen, you will never get the light in the night. You got to come out of the night, or out of the darkness, or out of your tradition, out of the things that you've been taught, When you were a Baptist, you spoke as a Baptist. You believed as a Baptist. When you were a Methodist, you spoke as a Methodist. You believed as a Methodist. But now Yahweh's called on you in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 17, to repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let me ask you a question. Let's say that you went to a church and you felt like that they were not preaching all of the truth. Well, what is truth? That he who blesses himself in the earth, that's you, shall bless himself in the God of truth. Pilate said, what is truth? And the Messiah answered him, not a word. You're not strive, ladies and gentlemen, unless you strive lawfully. If you want to know what the truth is, you've got to be willing to come out of the darkness, just like Nicodemus. And the Messiah responded to him quite effectively in this response. Unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Baptism is an important act of conversion. Some people say, oh, I just got baptized to show the world I put on Christ. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's say you didn't get baptized. And what a baptism is for the effort of putting him on, and instead of that, you put him off. You'll never get into the light by backing up into the darkness. You must come out openly. That's why that Yahweh chose the foolishness of water baptism for the remission of sin. I know it sounds crazy. I know that it sounds like that, well, what could water do for me? It symbolizes a water grave for this old man, the flesh man, to die. And then there is a transformation if you're baptized in the right name. You've got to have the right name. You can't be baptized in the wrong names expecting to get anything. You go in wet, and you come out wetter. You go in darkness, and you come out in darkness, just like the people that have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's darkness. Come out of the darkness. Let the light shine. Rise and shine, for the light has come. And the glory of Yahweh has surrounded you with the information of the God of truth. What is truth? Truth is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They would give you a spirit to acknowledge the true name. Did you know a lot of people are ashamed of the name? Did you know a lot of people that go to these false churches will not use the name of Yahweh? They'll use some foreign brand. They'll use the darkness of a name. They will use the light of the name. But when they get happy, they'll exclaim, Hallelujah. I'm going to repeat that just for the devil and push it right down your throat. When you exclaim the glory of the magnanimous and the most magnificent, the most glorious name in the universe is Yah. Yah is Psalms 68:4 in your Bible, where it explains that you would praise Yahweh in a dance. You would praise his name, Yah. Not Jah, but Yah. And so every Christian that professes in the kingdom of their church would exclaim at some point or another. You see, you just can't rub Yahweh out of your heart. Every time you breathe, you don't breathe in Jehovah. You don't breathe in Jesus. You don't breathe in Word. You don't breathe in Buddha or Buddha, if you want. want to call him that. You breathe in Yah. And the Bible says he is the breath that you breathe. And he's very near you. And once you inhale, an exclamation of bringing oxygen, which is the life-giving force of the breath of man, the neshama, when you breathe in, and then you exhale, Yah-wah, hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so natural to express Yahweh by the force of the breath of the neshama, that even the breath you breathe exclaims the magnificent, the glorious, the wonderful name above all names. And ladies and gentlemen, for the growth process of someone that's in darkness, although you're going to church, you're going to Sunday school, you read your Bible, I've seen people sit in these churches and they'll just take notes and they'll take notes and they'll take notes and they're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, for you to gain grace and knowledge, you must perform that which is pleasing to Yahweh. Baptism is the second act of the step into the kingdom. The first step, according to Matthew 4:17, is repent. Now, where do you get your remission? Now, you can repent. Judas repented in himself, it says. But do you think he got in repentance? If he'd repented in Yahweh, he might have. But see, he betrayed Yahweh. That's children of the darkness. And most people who are ashamed, who won't acknowledge the name of Yahweh, I think it's the most glorious name in the heavens. And why should I be ashamed of him? For he says, you'll reap what you sow. I shall be ashamed of you, that you may bless the God of truth, and that you will stand for him in this crooked and perverse generation who knoweth not, who are children of the dark and not children of the day. Baptism is the most essential element of obedience to have your sins remitted. Now, after your sins are remitted and you're cleansed in the true name, not the name of Jesus, not the name of Father, not the name of Son, not the name of the Holy Ghost, not the name of Buddha, not the name of Word, but the name of Hallelujah, the most powerful, glorious, everlasting, righteous name in the universe. Ladies and gentlemen, when you were out in sin, when you were wandering along, just like I was a 30-year preacher man in the name of Jesus. I preached the name Jesus like trees falling. I would have had my head cut off of my shoulders for the name of Jesus. And when someone passed on to me the revelation of Hallelujah, I was so amazed. I was so upset. I was so disappointed. Not in the great name of Yahweh, which I knew instinctively. When I knew it, I knew the sound. The Bible said the sound, the Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, the sacred tetragrammaton in the Greek rendering of the name of Yahweh, which is YHWH in the Hebrew language. How disappointed I was after 30 years of service to a name that had no relationship to the Creator. You said, well, Pastor Buddy, the New Testament says his name is Jesus. the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen, was written by a bunch of crafty men who tried to pervert and tried to hide under the darkness of the understanding of tradition, trying to bring a false name into the game. Now, the Bible said, beware of the scribes. The scribes are the one that ascribed the New Testament and put in the name of E.A. Zeus. Now, for that, you need to look into the Strong's Concordance. And it's simple to remember. Just remember this number that I'm fixing to quote you. And then, when the broadcast is off tonight, do yourself a favor. I have read the Bible all night long. I have sat for hours, untold hours. I couldn't begin to tell you in the 70-plus years that I've lived and the years that I've studied the Bible, I cannot tell you the nights that I've never turned off the light in my bedroom. I will be praying and fasting and seeking the knowledge and the wisdom. I was hungry. And Yahweh said, those that are hungry shall eat. They shall eat the bread of joy. It is indeed when you come to the full knowledge and the understanding of the great and the magnanimous and the most magnificent name of the breath you breathe. What a relaxing, what a glorious. When I came out of the water baptism, fully cleansed, after two attempts, once Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and once in Jesus' name, after 30 years of my last baptism into Jesus' name, I began to see another name that had been kept hidden from me and was not revealed in the Scriptures to me until, according as I read the Scripture last night, in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 47, when he said, then he opened up their understanding to believe the Scriptures and to see them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is growth. This is growth, and this is grace, and this is knowledge. You know, the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, is a wonderful word in the English language. If you would just take a little eraser, a mental eraser, and you was to just politely erase the first letter in grace, then you would understand what Pastor Buddy is teaching you tonight. Salvation is to erase. Grace is to erase. Grace is to them who are called and chosen and faithful before the foundation of the world. And he said, my sheep will hear my voice. They're not of this world. They will hear my voice, and they will not forsake me. They shall come to me, and they shall say, Yahweh is my God, and then Yahweh shall say, my people, which are called by my name, are my chosen from the foundation of the world. I have lost none, save the son of perdition, the son that wasn't meant to be in the kingdom. He chose 11 disciples, truthful and faithful. One of them, of the 12, was a devil. And the Bible said he turned state's evidence against the Messiah. Now let's go over to, and I was talking about being baptized. Once I was baptized as a young Baptist boy, the Baptists are good people. My family was great people. They were hard workers. My dad owned a farm here in East Tennessee, 250 acres. And I was up at before daylight, back in the 50s, plowing with the horses and the mules. We waited on daylight to get into the fields. on Sunday, my dad would not work one lick, regardless. And we would all go to our local church. It was called Liberty Baptist. And ladies and gentlemen, all the old shouting ladies who shout the bobby pins out of their hair, and it would fall to the floor, and they would dance and sing and praise. And I thought, this is the great power of God. Just like a man named in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, when he heard Philip preaching and teaching water baptism in the name of Yahweh, he himself believed. Oh, Simon, he believed, and the Bible said he continued beholding the miracles and the signs that were done. After he was baptized, he continued. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important, after you come out of the dark, to continue. But notice this. He saw a great power. When the apostles laid hands on the brethren, the Holy Ghost, the revelation. And a lot of people say, well, when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to jump and run, and you're going to shout, and you're going to do all these things. I did all that. But I still wasn't satisfied until I got that still, small voice spoke deeply into my heart and said, this is the way. CNS for the old path. Walk in. And as it was in the book of Acts, chapter 8, it says that old Simon the sorcerer, he wanted that power. He said, give me this power that on whomsoever that I lay my hands, he will receive this wonderful anointing. And then he was rebuked because he sought it for gain. Ladies and gentlemen, if you preach for money or if you preach for fame, you're preaching to the wrong God in the heavens. He will not hear you. You become sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Turn, repent. And the Bible says that the apostles, when they were at odds with Simon, they rebuked him and said, you cannot purchase this great power with money. It is not to be bought. It's not to be sold. It's not to be purchased. The only way you can get this power is through humbling down and seeking Yahweh with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, the second step would be water baptism. The third step, ladies and gentlemen, in growing in grace and knowledge is receiving the engrafted spirit. Now, how do you get this? There is 9 spiritual gifts in the working of the Holy Ghost, according to the Apostle Paul, who revealed these great inner sanctum truths that will give you an opportunity to have one of these marvelous gifts, or it would be much better if you possessed them all. Now, if you seek him for these Holy Ghost gifts, some say the Holy Spirit, some people say the Ruach, and some say the Holy Ghost. All three are indicating that this is the indwelling of a marvelous spirit. God is a spirit. And when you cleanse your temple, and when you anoint yourself and humble yourself, he whom you seek will suddenly come to the temple. And he said, I'll give you a new tongue. Now, let me show you just exactly what a new tongue is. A lot of people want this gift to speak in an unknown tongue. That's only one of the 9 gifts. Ladies and gentlemen, the best tongue that you ever have is the tongue of prophecy. The tongue of a prophet or the tongue of an apostle, where you, saving yourselves, can save others. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto Yahweh. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But Paul said, I would rather talk 5 words of understanding than 10,000 of exuberance and shouts and acclamations and praise, which would profit nothing to the hearer, but only would edify the believer. And so, if you want to be effective as a witness to grow in grace and knowledge, then you yourself must put on the whole armor and arm yourself with a humble spirit. You must suffer long. You must be patient. And you must be able to convince others that you are in the faith that they need. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. And notice this, if you receive the word of Yahweh into your heart, then you know that you've passed from death to life by one reason, not because you speak in tongues. I've heard people speak in tongues and fight the truth of Yahweh. You cannot have the Holy Ghost and fight the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. When you hear the truth, Yahweh said himself, my people will hear and my people will obey. Now hear what? They will hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. 1 Corinthians 13:1. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have not faith, or have all faith, so that I could remove a mountain, and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, I'm going to give you what charity is bestowing. This is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, tongues is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And yet, the Pentecostal movement that I was in, we preached that. I've got to hear you speak in tongues before I'm satisfied that you've got the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, let me read on. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity, verse 4, suffers long. It's kind, and charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. You know, a lot of people speak in tongues. They just got to let you know that they can speak in tongues. And yet, most of it, 95% of tongue talkers are not straight walkers. I'll repeat that. 95% of tongue talkers are not straight walkers. When Paul received the unction of the Spirit and the calling, he was told to go to Straight Street. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't preach this word just like it's intended to do, if you bring a false doctrine in, charity vaunteth not itself. Everybody in a tongue-talking church, everybody's got to talk in tongues. Usually there's no interpretation, and when the interpretation comes, it's out of the 24th chapter of some man's mind or some woman's mind, and it's not accurate. There is the true people. There is a small percentage of people that have the genuine evidence of the gift of unknown tongues. However, for the church age today, who's fighting Yahweh, fighting the true name, we'll have it. We'll have water baptism is in the name, and they claim the Holy Ghost. Your gift will be left at the altar, and then you'll have to go to him that you claim to have one and fill your vessel with humbleness, with suffering long, with kindness that envieth not, that vaunteth itself not, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. I'll tell you what you do. I'll give you a demonstration if most of you people would like to have the knowledge that I've got. I would be glad to get with you sometime and take you to a Pentecostal church that says that they have the Holy Ghost. And I can go in, and if I can get an audience in the pulpit, an opportunity or an invitation to preach or to teach in the pulpit, you'll see that they are easily provoked, not uneasily provoked, not easily provoked. These are very easy to provoke if you preach the truth. It won't rejoice in iniquity. Now, it's wonderful to have fellowship. And I could be in a tongue-talking church right now, this minute, preaching the evidence of speaking in other tongues if I was to void myself of integrity and truth. But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost rejoiceth not in iniquity. See, there's nothing that the evidence of the Holy Ghost here, talking from the fourth chapter down through the eighth verse that we're going to read here, and I'll show you. It thinketh no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Now, right there, if you preach the word and promise not to get out of the Bible and not be offensive, but preach the everlasting truth that he that's born of the water and the Spirit in the name of Yahweh, the Father, in the Gospel of John, who a lot of people say he was talking about the Word, he wasn't talking about the Word. That's a English translation. In the original Greek, it wasn't Word, it was Logos. The Father, the Logos, and the Spirit are one. Not the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, but the Father, the Logos, and the Spirit are one. When you preach one Spirit, the Father is the Logos, and the Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us, you're going to find the provoked, tongue-talking church turn against you. And ladies and gentlemen, right there you know that they don't have what we call the gift of the Holy Ghost. It beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. It endureth all things. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they are tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, and that's what I'm trying to get to you, the point tonight, the perfection of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, then which is in part shall be done away with. But when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkenedly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I also am known. Now thereby the faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. Now, if I was to move on here to the 14th chapter, follow after charity. Follow after charity. Now, if you follow after charity, you go back to the 4th verse of 13, 1 Corinthians 13. Charity suffers long, it's kind, it doesn't envy, it vaulteth not itself up, it's not puffed, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and charity never fails. Follow after charity. And desire the spiritual gifts. I laid on the altar probably for at least 7 to 8 years, I was designed the gift of speaking in other tongues. And I received it. But listen, but when you follow after spiritual gifts, don't seek tongues. That's what it says here. That's going to make you tongue talkers. A little bit angry. You're gonna vault yourself, and you're gonna behave yourself unseemly. You're gonna be easily provoked here with my message. But listen, follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but not these other gifts. But first gift that you would desire would be prophesy. And I had the gift of prophecy long before I had the gift of tongues. But I wanted a lesser gift, and I believed that I had a lesser gift, prophecy, and a desire to gift of tongues, which I was told was the Holy Ghost. And so then, the greater gift that I left on the altar to seek a lesser gift. That's okay if you want to speak in tongues. There's nothing wrong with it. But when you speak in tongues, you better not get a spirit that is out of the rank of charity. Charity suffers long, kind, endeth not. Charity involves not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, and beareth and believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things, and it will never fail. But tongues will cease. What you know in part will cease. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries, proving that you are speaking truly in the Spirit when you're speaking in an unknown tongue. And I've spoke so many times in tongues that I couldn't, you know, it's sort of like a habit. I mean, I was so filled with joy when I received the baptism of speaking in other tongues, I wanted to speak in all the time. But then I read the rules here, and I found that I might be a little bit out of order. Listen to this. He that prophesieth speaketh unto man to edification and exhortation and comfort. So then, which one would you want? The gift of prophesying or the gift of speaking in tongues? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the body. I would that you all spake with tongues. Now, see, that's a little misleading here. I would not that you all spake with tongues is the correct rendering here, but rather that you prophesy. See, Paul is putting prophesying before speaking in tongues. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. And yet, they'll tell you, oh, you've got to have these tongues. And Paul is saying, well, that's a lesser gift. I wasn't told the truth. And I was so full of exuberance and so much zeal trying to believe that what I had been taught by my elders, I mean, I came up in Pentecostal holiness. You couldn't even chew gum. You couldn't even put perfume on your body to give yourself vanity, and they called it. The women wore head covering, and their hair was, would, when they shouted down, they would shout their head covers off. I've seen my wife shout, literally shout her head cover off her head. You can't keep it pinned on when the Holy Ghost gets to you. And then her hair would drag almost to the floor. Ladies and gentlemen, the old-time holiness people, I mean, they really tried to perfect holiness in the flesh. And you can't do it. Holiness is not in the flesh. Holiness is in the internal integrity of the Spirit. If you don't have a Holy Spirit, you ain't going to have a holy body. I don't care how holy it looks. Except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except that I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge? There it is again. Grow in grace and knowledge, and rightly divide the word. Or through prophesying by doctrine, and even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, you, except you utter by the tongue, words easy to be understood. What if I got on here and spoke in tongues for 1 hour? And I could do it. Would that profit you anything? I doubt it. But if you understand what I'm reading tonight and putting all things in decency and order, and putting the grace and the knowledge of the Holy Ghost into your life, that you may repent and be baptized in the correct name. Could you have the Holy Ghost and be deceived? Now, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will lead you into all the truth. Now, you may not have this revelation of the name of Yahweh. You may have not have heard it. I know back in my Jesus name Pentecostal days, where I preached for 30 years, I received the Holy Ghost right out. And I was able to preach and to prophesy. And I had a lot of zeal and a lot of knowledge. I prayed, I fasted long, long days trying to get in the will of the Father. And finally, truth and knowledge came to me suddenly from the heavens. It fell down abundantly through his witnesses. How can you hear without a witness? How can you hear without a preacher who is a witness? How can he preach except it be sent? That there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without significance. Therefore, I know not the meaning of the voice. I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, forasmuch as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, listen to this now, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Just a reverse. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For I pray in an unknown tongue, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Showing you that when you speak in tongues, it is the spirit. But my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with my spirit. I will pray with my understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen to the giving of thanks, seeing that he understandeth what thou sayest? Now, ladies and gentlemen, for he verily gives thanks well, but the other is not edified. You see, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet, in the church, in the assembly, in the body of baptized believers, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, and that I should speak with 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And the law is written with men of other tongues. See, I read you that in the 65th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I have sought of them. I was found of them that sought me not. And I was found of them that hadn't seek me. With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith Yahweh. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. I don't know how plainer that the Apostle Paul could make it. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're a man? But if I prophesy, and there come unto you one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he's judged of all, and thus the secrets of the heart are made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship Yahweh and report that Yahweh is in you of the truth. There it is. Grow in grace and knowledge with the truth. Don't grow in grace and knowledge that doesn't have the truth, but accept the truth through charity that believeth all things. If some man comes in your assembly and reads you something out of the Bible, and you just jump on on him and run him off because he's opened his Bible and he preaches something you don't like to hear, you ain't got no truth. Truth is a cutting, two-edged sword. How is it then, brethren, when you come together and every one of you has a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three, and that course by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak unto himself and to God. And let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let him first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits, ladies and gentlemen, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. I've seen these people go wild and they're not subject. You've got to keep that spirit subject. It don't bother me when somebody speaks to me and I'm up to speaking and they've got a revelation, they want to ask me a question. It doesn't provoke me. Because if you have the grace and the love of charity, it suffers long, it's kind, it don't envy, it's not puffed up, and it's able to rule its own spirit. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all of the assemblies of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted on them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also fell the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husband at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, you can see why Paul is not too well appreciated. What? Came the word of God out from you, or did it came unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of Yahweh. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And this is where the title of our message tonight, Growing in Grace and Knowledge, would forbid you to be ignorant. Faith comes by hearing. Therefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues, but let all things be done in decency and in order. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've got my message tonight, part two of the gospel of knowledge and faith and grace. If you want to know the truth of the matter, seek Yahweh while he can be found. Call upon him while he is near. And let Yahweh bless your soul. Let him move into your being. Let him fill your temple. And pray to prophesy. Don't pray to speak in tongues. But if you get the gift of tongues and you speak in tongues and you're content with that, then you've got a lesser gift, not a greater one, but a lesser, according to the Bible. And so then I preached incorrectly for 30 years that speaking in tongues was the evidence of the Holy Ghost, when in fact, the fruits of charity is what I now look for. If you've got someone that has always got Yahweh on his mind, if you've got someone that loves him, if you've got someone that supports the ministry, through hard, through thick, and through thin, you've got a friend, you've got a brother, and you've got a Holy Ghost filled person to walk with. It's joy to spend time with Holy Ghost people. It is very hard to spend time around people that are not Holy Ghost filled. You know why? Because they have a carnal mind, a carnal nature. They're always vindictive. They're always full of criticism. They're always finding fault. And they're always in an uproar about something. But the Holy Ghost brings commitment. Holy Ghost brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. How good it is and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. If you would like to write me tonight, I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. I appreciate them for giving us this time to bring this message to you. And may Yahweh richly bless all of those tonight under the sound of my voice. And hopefully that I have given you something that will help you in your pursuit of holiness, without which no man shall see Yahweh. Walk in the light, even as he is in the light. You can write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 37824. And you can call me, area code 423-626-2172. And I'm going to repeat that. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Or you can write me at Post Office Box 2284 in New Tazewell, Tennessee. And ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is a strong, he's a strong rock, and we're going to magnify him. We got to get out of here tonight. We love you, and may Yahweh richly bless you. I love you. Oh, yeah.